Hello, and welcome to the Comic Book Rundown. I'm your host, Joe, and with me today is special guest from Wreck My Podcast, Jordan.
Yes, hello.
How you doing, man?
Good, good. Yeah, I'm just living life over here in Southern California and reading
all
some...
Nice as-
yeah, it's really nice reading some comics that you lent me so we could talk about them.
Yes, of course. So I don't know... I don't know if I actually talked to you about this, but I'm not sure if you've actually listened to the podcast or if you had a chance to.
Yeah.
On our first, whenever we have a guest on, I like to ask where their starting comic books were. There we go. Words.
Yeah,
words are hard. So where did you start?
So if you... comic books, now my podcast is all about pop culture. So, you know, we cover everything from movies, TV, video games, comic books. I would say comic books are probably on my lower end of the spectrum of what my knowledge is, so it's kind of fun to get to read some of the stuff that I don't know too much about. Like, I know enough because I engulf myself in the Avengers, so I may not have read issues, but I know what happens in comic arcs and stuff like that, so it was kind of cool to see that. But my start was probably when I was a kid. I really got into the Pokemon anime, the Pokemon manga, because I was into the anime, I was into the game, and I had a friend who was really into Japanese stuff, so he gave me a bunch of manga, and I was like, oh, this is super cool. It was way more adult than the anime cartoon was, for sure, but that's kind of where I got my start, and then I was really into Star Wars, so I just started collecting those Star Wars Marvel and then the Dark Horse comics like crazy. And so I have a bunch of, like, the omnibuses and, like, trade paperbacks and stuff of that. And that's kind of where I started and stopped, was mostly just, like, Star Wars and sci-fi stuff. So I'd hit up, like, a Serenity book when it would come out and stuff like that.
Oh, those were good.
Yeah, and then like, a few years ago, I really got into Deadpool because, you know, that's a thing now. Everyone's into Deadpool. So I have, like, a billion of Deadpool stuff, too. So I have a lot of what I have. But I don't. I'm not a jack of all trades when it comes down to it, you know.
Oh, as you can see on my video call, I am.
Yeah, and I saw your picture you posted recently on Instagram too of just like this insane library.
Oh yeah, no, that was
comic books.
Majority of those are DC. I'm a giant DC fan, as the listeners know. I've been collecting since '93, mainly DC. I've got a couple shelves on there with Marvel, a couple with a bunch of indie titles.
Yeah.
IDW, Zenoscope, just I love comic books.
Yeah,
and it actually wasn't until recently that I actually started liking things other than superheroes.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of cool stuff out there. Like, I mean, the Umbrella Academy just came out on Netflix, and that's a super cool story.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet. I haven't started it.
So I've got the first podcast, volume. Yeah, our podcast this Wednesday is all about it, because when I saw that was coming out.
Oh, I might have to skip that
then. Yeah, you'll have to, don't, because we get really spoilery on it.
Okay, I'll have to skip it then.
But yeah, I love the Umbrella Academy. The whole idea of this dysfunctional X-Men, pretty much, always.
Yeah.
I just love weird alternate reality stuff. So that always kind of resonates with me.
Well, I say alternate reality is my bang. Like,
yeah.
I love the Elseworlds. I love the what-ifs.
Yes.
Like, I dove headfirst in all that stuff.
Yeah, so I assume you watch like the Arrowverse stuff and all that then, right?
So I'm a season behind. I'm actually currently on the Netflix, what's on Netflix right now, that season.
Yeah.
I did, however, watch this past season's crossover.
The Elseworld one?
Was that? Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That one was good.
Yeah, because you mentioned that, so I'm like, oh yeah, they just did that.
Yeah, and then my plan is to, because they already announced Crisis on Infinite Earths, for next year, my plan is to, I don't want to rush headlong into getting that one read.
Yeah.
But I have a couple Flash arcs to hit, a Swamp Thing arc to hit, and a Teen Titans arc to hit before I can even touch that.
Yeah.
So hopefully I can get it by November. We'll see.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I believe in you, man. I think you can do it.
But enough about all that. Let's get into to why I have you here.
Perfect.
So today... we are going to be reading the Avengers books, issues 66 through 71. They were written by Marvel in 1969. The writer is Roy Thomas. The art was done by Barry Smith and Sal Buscema. Inks were done by Sid Shores, George Klein, and Sam Granger. And letters by Artie Semick and Sam Rosen. Before we get too deep into it, one of the issues we're going to be covering, and we'll dive into it when we get there. Issue 71, our last issue, that was like re-put out by Marvel here recently, as a, you should keep an eye on this book because of what might happen in Endgame.
Which is funny because it's called Endgame.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I think there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
One of the characters in that issue, well, leading up to the issue, I think might actually show up in the movie. So.
Which is cool. Yeah. Like, it's funny when that popped up because my research into Endgame has told me about these characters. And I'm like, hey, this is kind of cool that this is popping up now and the movie's so close and everything. You
yeah.
Know? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and that's why, like, these Avengers books, I've been loving them so much.
Yeah.
And this one, I usually save my review to the end, but these books, these issues, I loved them. These are great issues, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. They're fun. They're definitely fun, especially since I saw some characters that, you know, I recognize names of, but haven't really read in comics. And also, it's a different of. It's cool seeing the Avengers together than what is on screen, kind of like the real Avengers from back in the 60s, and getting that dynamic. So that's always fun. And, like, you know, you see Clint. Clint Barton is his name, right?
Yep.
Yeah. You see him, but not how you think you would see him if you're just a fan of the movie. So that was kind of like a fun little switch, too.
Yeah, actually, the last Avengers arc we covered was him becoming Goliath.
Oh, cool. So I missed out on that. I got to go back and listen to that.
Oh, you're
so
good, man.
I know where we are in the one I'm listening to now.
So let's go ahead and get into it. We start out this first issue 66, and we are introduced to Adamantium for the first time.
Yes.
Which I did not know that. I mean, I knew Adamantium came before Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea it came in the Avengers book.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
It's also kind of like interesting because Vibranium's there. So what, like, the whole purpose of bringing Adamantium into it was kind of like, okay, so they just needed something to rival Vibranium. They're like, okay, we created Vibranium. What are we going to do now? We have to make another one, you know?
Well, and I mean, you hit that right on the head there, because we'll see that in a couple issues. The differences between them, both of them. But what we have here is the S.H.I.E.L.D. created Adamantium, and they asked the Avengers to basically put it to the test, see what can, I guess, either destroy it slash hit it slash dent it, do whatever to it. So we get Thor using his hammer, meow meow. And not doing a damn thing to it.
Yeah, which I think is a running theme in this comic arc is just Mjolnir never does anything. It seems like, what is the purpose of this hammer?
Well, in our last Thor issues that just released, we see the Thor origin, and we see when he gets Mjolnir, he literally just hits everything with it, because why not?
Yeah, sure. You're like a kid with a new toy, just like banging
basically,
everything.
Basically,
yeah.
So right after Thor, you know, gets his lackluster performance, Iron Man steps up and he tries his hand. I like how he's questioning even putting a dent in it.
Yeah.
And one of the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, like, does Tony Stark know you're talking bad about his armor?
Yeah.
His gizmos?
Yeah.
Tony's like, well, I think he'll understand.
I found it very funny that Tony Stark and Iron Man, no one knew they were the same person in this Avengers, because you just assume that people would know, especially since, like, it's kind of obvious, in my opinion, that, like, he's never in the same room.
Well, and this goes back to, so another thing I've been loving to find and actually purposely doing is the issues I'm covering. Like, I'm covering Avengers here.
Yeah.
And then I just did Iron Man, which is right here. So they're going on the same timeline.
Yeah, yeah.
In the Iron Man story, he had a LMD, life model decoy, show up, and it took over his life. So Tony Stark and Iron Man
were in the same place. Switcheroo for a minute there. I get it.
Well, yes and no, because the LMD just took over Tony's life.
Well, yeah, they did the whole thing where it's like, we got to make people see us in the same room to stop questioning what's going on and everything. That's funny. The LMDs were back then, too. That's so cool.
Actually said the same thing in the Iron Man story.
Yeah, that's crazy how long ago that they had that
idea. I think, actually, it showed up in 1967.
Dang, like, that's crazy.
Or earlier. I know both Nick Fury and Captain America had used it before Tony used it.
What a classic comic book trope.
Right?
Robots.
So Iron Man does what he can. I think he uses his repulsors on it.
Yeah, and he also, I want to make a note here. He said, I don't want to sound too cocksure, which I'm like, What?
Yeah, their dialogue, man.
It's their crazy. Dialogue. It's crazy. I love it.
So after, you know, Tony does his thing and they realize it, nothing happens, we get the, what's his name? Dr. McClane, mm-hmm. I believe. He is, you know, he's having his agents check it out. And he's like, just as I hoped and feared, only this molecular rearranger can alter the shape and form of the metal.
Yeah.
Which I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, if you want it to be impenetrable, sure. But, you know, if it gets in the wrong hands, dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, exactly. So right after that, we have, well, Vision starts going, he has like a headache.
Yeah.
Some stabbing pains, which I didn't think androids could have.
Yeah. Yeah. It was kind of weird.
But he does. Or, no, wait, Synthezord. I don't remember.
He's something.
There was a specific term that Hank Pym used for, I think it might have actually been for Ultron, but I don't know.
Yeah, he's somewhere between a robot and a real person. He's like, yeah. He's like Siri on steroids or something. I don't know. Yeah.
I like that. Don't say that too loud. Somebody might actually, Siri might hear you.
That's true, right? Hey, Google.
Yeah. Thankfully, I don't have that enabled. Yeah. I think. Uh-oh. So Goliath, Clint Barton, decides that he's going to try and, you know, hit it with his fist.
Yes.
Because a indestructible hammer and some repulsor rays didn't do anything. So human strength, you know, that's going to do something.
Yeah, Clint here is just showing he's the smartest guy in the room right now, obviously. I was waiting to see him throw on his, like, flat-billed hat and jump into his giant truck and start blasting some Avenged Sevenfold on the way out, but, you know.
No, that's we're about a couple years too early for that.
Oh, okay.
But no, like, I mean, Clint Barton, in the last Avengers arc we did,
yeah,
it showed Clint actually being smart. Because, okay. Kinda. It was a good Hawkeye, Clint Barton, Goliath arc.
Is it something where when he turned into Goliath, because he, like, grows so tall, maybe his brain doesn't grow with him, so then he loses some, you know, it's common sense?
It's funny you say that. Hold that thought for about four more issues.
Okay. I'll hold on to it. I got it right here.
Yes. Okay. So after, you know, Barton does that and nothing happens, we see Vision disappear.
Yes.
Because he was basically being pulled away.
Mm-hmm.
And we end up seeing him at the grave of Wonder Man. And he's having a, I guess you could say, like, a mental breakdown,
mm-hmm.
in a way. I will say, so he has all this dialogue. And to me, it looked like he was reading the script on the grave, like, here lies the body of, yeah. Wonder Man. But he keeps going on. I'm like, that's a lot on that grave. If that's a small grave to fit all that stuff on.
Yeah.
Like, here's he whose brain patterns were fed into the android form of the Vision. I mean, I know it's a dumb joke, and I make dumb jokes.
Yeah.
But that's just me being stupid. Sorry. But yeah, no. So we get a quick.
It is a little bit like a soliloquy-ish of him. Oh, to, yeah. be doing this. It obviously is. You know, we're. Exposition is huge in comics, and they got to make it seem somewhat organic, even if it's not.
Especially in the 60s. Like,
yeah.
I know in the 90s, they start having, you know, the not the thought bubbles, but the block up in the corners that actually, yeah. have, that's supposed to be the thought. Whereas, you know, 60s, 70s, they actually have to speak everything they're thinking.
Yeah, yeah. So he's like, I am exposition. Sad. Yeah, it's...
Yeah. It's bad, but...
It's bad, but it lets you know what's going on, kind of.
Yeah, we deal with it. But basically what we get here is he is just trying to figure out what is causing him to betray / not trust his Avengers comrades.
Mm-hmm.
And then he figures it out, and then he rushes off to where he's supposed to go.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know that yet.
Yeah.
What we have here, we go back to the Avengers Tower, or Mansion, whichever one it is, and we see the Avengers, well, we see Yellowjacket and the Wasp just having a little conversation. Yellowjacket's just worried about Vision.
Yeah.
Because he's an android.
Yeah.
And he works with...
In this version of Avengers, Hank Pym, he's the one who created Vision, correct? Or no?
Well, he created Ultron.
Okay, which is, and Vision Ultron came from that.
Well, Ultron created Vision, yeah.
Okay, so Hank Pym, so like what we would have in the movies where it's kind of Tony Stark and Bruce Banner are kind of like the father figures. It's more Hank Pym is kind of the guy who's like, well, Vision came from my creation kind of thing.
Kind of. Like, and he's, I feel like, he's reminiscing.
I feel like in this comic I realized, I was like, oh yeah, I forgot that Hank Pym really does kind of take on the Tony Stark role of what we know in the movies. And I also thought it was weird that he's Yellow Jacket here. I was like, oh, that's interesting. I always thought he was just Ant-Man all the time. I didn't know he was Yellow Jacket.
Well, yeah, when we started out reading the Avengers, he actually was Goliath at the time.
Oh, okay.
So he'd already gone away with the Ant-Man persona. And then he went to Goliath, and then he had like a mental breakdown and became Yellow Jacket.
It's because you grow too tall and your brain can't handle it.
Well, you laugh. But yeah, no, he had a straight mental breakdown from what he was doing.
Yeah.
Yellow Jacket was a quote unquote villain that killed Hank Pym. I don't know. It was a. Go back and listen to those episodes. They're the earlier ones.
Because comics. Them. Cool. Okay.
Yeah, oh, yes, definitely. Janet is just coming in and she's wondering what Hank is doing. And he says that he's just thinking about the Vision and he may not be what he seems. And on the very next panel, we have Iron Man getting blasted by a repulsor gun. He's in the danger room or whatever room and practicing.
Yeah.
But the guns themselves are actually hurting him.
Yeah, like the safety's been turned off.
Yeah, and he's like, well, I don't... Okay, I guess I can try... I know my armor's tough, but I guess I gotta get through this.
Mm-hmm.
We in the control room, we have Goliath and Thor. And Goliath is telling Thor, we need to stop the guns. Like, they're actually gonna hurt Iron Man.
Yeah.
And Thor's like, no, he's fine. It's, like, these guns are made... He can handle this stuff. It's fine.
Douse thy fine, sir.
Iron Man's like, well, why aren't they deactivating these blasters?
Yeah.
You know, I'm still alive at the moment, but these guns are definitely hurting me. He is able to, like, I'm not going to say sneak up on them, but he's able to get underneath them and destroy them before he actually dies, which is good.
Yeah, yeah.
But
he's very weak by the end of it, that's for sure.
It took a lot out of him.
Like
the blasters actually took a lot of energy from his suit.
Mm-hmm.
Next, we see Vision flying up to the S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier that's in outer space that is holding the adamantium. I guess, I don't know why it's in space, but...
It's safer. Everything's safer in space.
Sure it is.
Yeah.
So he goes in this room that is, I guess, airless. Like, you can't survive without a suit.
Uh-huh.
And he comes upon this guy, this S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, in a suit. Now, I have to bring up the airless airlock, whatever room he's in. Mainly because this S.H.I.E.L.D. agent is telling Vision to stop.
Yes.
Vision is not stopping. Ends up, like, walking through... this agent.
Yeah. He like and sucks him in or something. Like, it's weird.
Yeah, it's really beautiful artwork. Like, I like that scene. However, the couple panels we see Vision standing there. The guy is like in him.
Mm-hmm.
His helmet comes off.
Yeah.
And then Vision walks away and the guy is laying on the floor in this airless room, I think.
Without a helmet.
And without a helmet on.
He does, granted, the guy does say cold, so cold.
Well, I think he's referring to Vision passing through him.
Okay, not that there's no air in
Yeah, not that he's dying.
Yeah.
Vision basically is on a beeline to the adamantium. He wants to get that thing, and nothing's going to stop him. We go back to the Avengers headquarters, and Thor and Goliath are helping out Iron Man. As Yellow Jacket comes running in, and he's like, he says that there's been an accident, and he needs to tell them what's going on.
Yeah.
And so, and they ask what's going on. He's like, I will tell you, in the study. Let's go.
Yeah.
It's like, why?
We can't
just
talk.
Tell
here.
Them now.
Yeah, we can't talk here, guys. We have to be official about it. It needs to be on the record.
Well, you say official, so you see the four of them in the study. Yellow Jacket says what's going on, that S.H.I.E.L.D. called and said that somebody stole the adamantium. and they think it was the Vision because the person looked like the Vision.
Mm-hmm.
And then we hear, well, we don't actually see anything, but Iron Man says that he heard a cry, a muffled cry for help upstairs. And we rush upstairs because that's where Jam is.
Yes.
And apparently she was getting coffee for everybody.
As she should.
Yeah.
In 1969.
Oh, no, dude. Like, this one, this part right here, and then there's, I think, another scene later on where she is basically treated like the help.
Yeah.
It's like, she's a member of the team, dude.
Yeah, they treat her like that, but then she's also, when they go to the UN later, she's like, whatever will I wear? And it's like,
yeah,
okay, who cares? Wear your suit like everyone else.
Right. That did bug me a little bit.
Yeah, the mild sexism in this, you know, on point, Stan
yes.
Lee.
Well, no, Stan Lee was just the editor.
Yeah, well, hey.
Roy Thomas was the writer.
He had control to take those things out. And he was like, no.
You're not wrong there. 1969, you're not wrong. What had happened is that Jan is laying on the ground, and she says the exact same thing that the S.H.I.E.L.D. agent said. You know, Vision appeared out of nowhere and then just kind of walked through me and wasn't stopping. The Vision then pops up and starts to fight the Avengers. Again, because, you know, why not?
Yeah.
They're all trying to stop him, but he's literally just running through them, and they can't do nothing. But what it was all just a distraction. Because as they are in the middle of fighting, there's a rumbling happening, and Vision is like, "All right, well, I did everything I could." That sound signals the birth of one you thought forever gone. Of one who now stands composed of indestructible adamantium. Of one who was destroyed yet lives again. The deadly, deathless dreadnought that is Ultron 6.
Ultron 6.3. Patch coming soon.
I will say this version of Ultron. I did know he was made out of adamantium at one point in time.
Yeah.
This version we see in this picture, It's a goddamn car engine, and he's just sitting in it.
Yeah, it's really weird that how did they make this into an engine? Because was the animatium,
I don't know, dude,
a jet before, or because if it's indestructible, how did they take an indestructible force and then form it into what it needs to be? And my thought of vibranium and adamantium has always been too: how do you get it to a point where you're able to mold it like into Cap shield and stuff? I'm like, isn't it indestructible? How do you mold it?
Like any good, maybe metal, you have to heat it up to the heating point of whatever heating point it is, which I'm assuming is nothing shy of a fucking volcano.
Yeah.
To then get it to be liquid, to then mold it into whatever.
Yeah. Let alone a car engine.
Right.
What is
this? Yeah. So, but that ends our first issue.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you like listening to Jordan, please check out Wreck My Podcast on all the podcasting apps and YouTube. You can also find them on Twitter and Instagram at Wreck My Podcast. And as always, you can find us on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with more to this Avengers story.